Welcome back, everyone. Going into the second half here, or second hour, rather, of Roleplay Swan Song. Adam, tell us about these bandmates. Not bondmates.
The second half of the first half. I guess I want to give you an opportunity. Do you do anything, or are you just in the car? Because if you don't want to do anything, we can jump to the meeting.
I suppose that I would say something because I'm actually seeing something that I saw.
Okay. To whom do you say that, and what do you say?
We're just being driven by a driver.
Yeah, it's a driverless car. They sent a.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, then would there be a way that we could stop it?
Yeah, totally.
If I just start going, stop the car. Stop the car.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you haven't got, like, you're the last one to get in, so the door is still open. So you, like, looked over your shoulder.
Oh, we were getting in. That's right.
Yeah. You're just getting in.
Fucking slow the car down already. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So if you just don't get in,
I was thinking more about this. So I think I like maybe just don't get into the car.
Okay. So Alfarious, you notice, Piani just like stops and is looking at something outside and not getting in the car.
As she does that, I would be the last one to get in the car. That's what he would do. So he opens his chest, pulls out his pistol, and like puts it across the back of the car and just aims in the direction she's claiming towards.
And he
sees his kids, and there's a little
maybe
bit of
that
a
like snaps it. It snaps me out of it. I'm like, put it away. But I've seen those guys before.
Hey, what the fuck are you two doing? Would you get in the car? Hold on, sir. I'm sorry.
The famous Piani.
These people are. I don't go with them anywhere. They're not part of my crew.
Are you just talking to the car?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Maybe I have this moment where I'm like, okay, wait. Higgs is not even gonna like. I'm just gonna. So I turn to Alfarious after like going to, and I grab him in the most sort of like serious way, and I'm like, I don't think I like what comes next.
You're gonna have to be more. What are you? What's going on?
You'll have to believe me, but I saw this in a dream last night, and it didn't end. It didn't end well.
I've had experience with their MAS before in terms of predictive abilities.
Yeah, I'm also close enough to hear this, right?
Yep.
Yeah, like that's major red flags for Eric.
You're gonna have to be more clear if I'm to do my job. What is coming?
Yeah, I asked her.
I mean, maybe at that point I'm like, you know, like you just see Piotti like, man, and then black fucking pods and fucking thing, you know, like in the whole sort of.
Did you say it all? Like you're just exclaiming it all?
Black fucking pods and the thing and.
Yeah.
I think at that point I'm like, I've been documenting it all this time. Pi kind of like pushed me the you know, a couple nights ago. I think at this point I'm just like, fuck it. I have to like, I actually saw something, and this might be the second time, and I don't think I said anything the first time. So in my head, I'm like, yes, I just have to fucking say everything. I don't care if I'm crazy or not.
I guess I get out of the car and I'm just like, what the fuck's going on here? What are we chatting about? Can we not do this in motion to the meeting that we're going to be late for? Afarius, what's going on?
Miss Pick has had a dream about an aerial assault from pods.
Miss Peak is a precognitive. I think we should give a heavy dose of authority to her dreams.
I look up, and I'm just like, from up there, we're just going to have some land on us? I mean, that's pretty far-fetched.
Adam, I don't know anything about like what she's describing, do I? Like, wolves with one eye are fairly evocative within my cultural history.
Yeah, make a culture sacred roll.
I think I probably don't have culture sacred.
Exactly.
No, I don't.
Thus proving my point, Mr. Lumpkin. Now go ahead and just roll intelligence at minus one.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Oop. Intelligence. Oh, not bad.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, well, wolves and things that have one eye are both relevant to Sigurd culture. Also, like a big warrior with an axe and a long beard, that those three things together kind of, yeah, you're getting a Sigurd vibe for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
What have you seen before? Have you seen us stepping into this car, Piani? What's triggering it right here?
It's these, and I point over to the band guys, and I'm like, it's them.
What happens to them? They're about to get hit by the thing?
I don't, it's just that are in the sequence of events.
What is the timeline? Piani?
Yeah, what's the timeline? Where are they at? If there's a sequence. Frame.
It could have been 12 hours. I don't know. I can't. I'm just telling you what I saw. Okay. It corresponds directly. I didn't fucking see that this guy was wearing a red shirt for no reason.
You said that.
The recommendation, Mr. Wilbur, is we go to this meeting, which will take us away from this location where apparently this event will occur.
Okay. I mean, I'm going to go talk to the kids. I'll be right back. And I just walk over to the band.
Okay, sure. So yeah, you walk over and they seem to be in the middle of an argument about like a song where like the guy holding a guitar case he's taking out is like, listen man, I really think we should change up the chorus because nobody in this crowd is gonna, and like as you walk up they both kind of turn their heads and the kid with the smoke like takes it out of his mouth.
Hey, is that you? Are you guys them? I can't believe I'm seeing you guys here.
And they kind of like. The guy smoking a cigarette like nods. He's like, yeah, man, we're Raven's Calls. What's going on, you fans?
Holy shit. I've seen you guys like a couple of times before. This is insane. What are you doing out here in the middle of nowhere?
Yeah, and the dude like kind of like he's got like long black hair and he like flips it out of his face and he's got like a little like rune like tattooed on one cheek. And on the back of his hand, you can see like just coming up his sleeve. He's wearing like a denim jacket coming up his sleeve and onto the back of his hand, like a tattoo that looks like feathers or something. You can't quite make it out. He's like, you know, man, Anaximander's a great place for a show. They got that a good venue. We're doing a couple of little secret shows though. So
shit, okay, all right.
He looks over his shoulder at a there's like a bar nearby. And he nods. He's like, yeah, real hush hush. So like, you know, don't tell.
Yeah, no, there's secrets safe with me. I got that. I didn't know you guys were touring still. I didn't know this was, I thought you guys were making a new album in the studio. What's been going on?
And so while you're talking, yeah, the dude, the like singer guy, like looks over at the guitarist or drummer or whoever's like unloading the car. they share a look like, oh my god, this guy actually knows who we are. This is fucked up. And the guy goes back into like being cool guy mode. He looks over at you and he's like, yeah, you know, we were working on the album, but I had a vision, man, and I just like I knew I had to get out on the road. So yeah, we started this tour, a little reinvigoration of the band. You know how it is.
You mean hold on, when you say vision, you mean you smoke a little something, or did you actually like have one of those visions, you know? Like one of those Mez type. Have you heard of those people?
He nods and he's like, yeah, man. Yeah, I've got that undiagnosed shit. I see things. I commune with the spirits, dude. He like finishes a cigarette and he throws it away. And you can see he's like starting to like put on an act. And he's like, I drank the sacred water, dude. And I like had a vision and Odin was there and he told me what was going to happen. He's like, you got to go on tour, bro. So here we are. This is step one. We're gonna do the whole sector, man.
Damn.
As soon as you get some money.
Hey, I heard that you guys
you gotta come to the show. And he like,
oh yeah, so no, I've already got tickets. That's why I'm blown away that I just found you guys out here in the middle of nowhere. Me and my friends over there, we're on our way to. We got some business in town. You know, we're kind of a small time gig, but we're working our way out there. We hope to be touring soon, getting some studio time. But anyways, I just wanted to say. You got visions. I've heard you guys are into some cult-like activity. You know,
yeah,
is that
yeah,
true? Can you guys confirm those rumors? Or
he's like, yeah. Well, you know, like if you really pay attention to our lyrics, you know what we're really about. Like, and he like kind of like he's putting on the rock star spiel. He's like, yeah, you know, we just like don't believe in anything, man. We just, it's the darkness. That's all there is out in space, darkness, man. So, you know, that's really what we're about.
Okay. No, I got that. I understood that from the first time I ever heard your music. God, shit, you not. Look, we got to get going to this meeting. I just want to say, if something falls from the sky and crushes you and you die later today, just say that someone told you about it, all right? Just if one of you survives.
Yeah, they look at each other, and the guy, the other guy, the dude unloading is like, Steve, who the, and the guy like glares at him when he says Steve, and then he looks at you, and
nobody wants to be called Steve.
No, totally. And he looks at you, and he's like, man, if fire falls from the sky and crushes us before our show tonight, it'll be a bummer, but I'll see you in Valhalla, bro.
All right. Yeah, no, I'll see you at the show, bro. Have a good one. And man, can't believe I met you guys. You have a nice day. All right, keep up the good music.
Okay. Yeah, so you turn and walk away, and they're already like whispering to each other. The guy's like, what the hell, man? I told you I'd use my stage name when there's fans around. And he goes like, I'm sorry, just, that guy was kind of weird. And like they're whispering to each other as you walk away.
Yeah, I get back to the group and I'm just like, those guys are a bunch of fucking idiots. One of them seems to have, you know, the same shit that you two have, but it doesn't seem. He might have just been fucking around. I don't know, Piani. I mean, how sure is this thing? Is it a sure thing? Is it going to happen today? Or are they just destined to become some sort of summoning group? I don't even know if that's a thing.
Can I step out for one, like just 1 second here? So I want to rewind all the way back to one of the first visions I had, which was what I think was at this point Andoni basically getting totally fucked.
I mean, you've had a bunch of kind of apocalyptic visions, places getting destroyed.
But I don't think I've ever said, hey, Higgs, I actually saw this happen. Or at least what I think was, you know, could have been another planet. Pretty sure it was that event. So I just want to confirm before I say, like, it's happened one other time. And I didn't tell you about the event, but I saw it and it happened. And this is exactly the same.
Well, did it happen like same day? Is there a timeline and how you see these events? I don't know how that shit works.
I didn't. I think there's like a really long pause. I think it was the destruction of Aldoni.
What, you knew that was going to happen?
It's not like I knew it was going to happen. I think I'm pretty sure I saw it before it did.
I like...
Not any sort of detail that could have prevented us from stopping it, but in this case, a detail matches up.
I grab Piani's arm and just like drag her like 10 feet away from Alpharius. And I look real agitated. I'm like right in your face. I'm just like, Piani, what the fuck? You can't say this shit
it's
in front
not
of Alpharius.
Like everyone knows that the fucking planet blew up. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
I
but if he knows that you fucking planet. Knew it was going to happen.
I did, but
he's going to be a little suspicious.
It's like I can't fucking tell people and just expect me to not be fucking crazy. It's like how you treat me right now, Higgs.
I'm not saying you're fucking crazy. I'm saying don't say that shit in front of someone's home planet. It was there.
I think I actually go, I mean no disrespect.
Yeah, okay. That seems real sincere. Sorry. Why don't you just yell it a little bit louder and make it more impersonal?
What
Piani?
The fuck do you want
me out of respect to Higgs, like Alpharius could tell, like he could listen in, but he when you pulled her away, he didn't. But instead he frowned and looked at Eric and was like, This is very weird. Everything here is strange.
I personally am very concerned about this. I take precognitive dreams very seriously. I think we should probably try to find out from Piani if there's any way we can avoid being at the epicenter of what she saw.
How far, I mean, like from where we were, where is that? Like how far would I assume that was if I was actually putting distance to my dream?
You mean like how far in terms of like time passing?
No, in terms of location, right? If I saw that, maybe I'm suddenly like, okay, hold on, let me find another detail that I might remember.
You're not in the same place. It's the van is the same, the two kids are the same, but it's definitely the same like season. You know, you remember the leaves and stuff, but the only other detail, you remember that big statue. You remember a statue of the founder. If you could find that, that might help you put a place to it.
I think that's where I start to go next. Yeah, I go, okay, first there was the band, and then I saw this, but I haven't seen the statue. And that's where I saw the pods.
What did the statue look like?
I guess I kind of explain. It's the leader.
So the founder of the university, Ramirez.
Maybe I turn to Eric. I'm like, you'd know. It's the founder of the university.
I mean, this guy's a big deal in sector history. Like he's the guy who was able to basically redesign the spike drive after the Scream, you know, like 400 years ago. He founded the university. He was like a scientist. He's kind of the like Henry Ford of this current period of time. Everybody's like, oh, that's the guy that invented the spike drive. Whereas it seems like people are like, oh, Henry Ford, the guy who invented the car.
So, I mean, like if I said his name, everyone would know. Like knowing Benjamin Franklin or Thomas Edison or something.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah, he's a cultural factor.
And what's his name again?
His name is Ramirez Al-Mualim.
I think I just say it was Ramirez.
Ramirez Al-Mualim. Cool.
Yeah.
Am I familiar enough with the university to know where that would be? Okay. Yeah. I mean,
you could find out, but no, you didn't like study here. So
I guess we just like try to grab a student and be like, excuse me, I need you to tell me where the inventor of the spike drive is right now.
Okay. So you just grab a couple of like kids walking by with their backpacks and like,
yeah,
they look at each other and one of them's like, what, man?
The spike drive, the inventor, he made it. Where is it?
The guy's like, you need to chill out, guy. The inventor of the spike drive has been dead for a really long time.
No, he's here. He's on this campus. He's very nearby.
He shakes his head. He's like, no, dude, you're confused. He's been dead for 400 years. And he like looks around. He's like, he founded the university. That was a long ass time ago.
Mr. Higgins, help.
What do you need?
Tell this man or woman or whatever they are.
Yeah, there's two students. There's a man and a woman. They were like walking, some kind of like teenagers.
Tell this man what we need.
Ferris is still at the car, just like looking between the two groups, and he's just like, don't feel any more. I've never felt more cyborg than I do right now.
I'm sorry, you two. This person's a mental patient. I have to walk around with him. He slipped out of my hands. He's wondering where the statue of the person that built the hyperdrive is. It, Eric, is that what you said?
Hyperdrive. Ramirez Al-Mualim.
That guy. There's a statue somewhere here on the moon.
Oh, yeah, big R. There's a statue of him. I mean, there's a bunch of them. Which one are you looking for? Like, young period, old period, one of the big ones, one of the little ones?
Hold on.
Was he big or small? Or young or old?
Was he big or small?
It was like a statue. The statue was pretty sizable. It was like one of those kind of like
Soviet, how big was the statues? Is that what you asked? Are you actually asking about his build? I mean, it's just like a normal guy.
There's multiple statues, Piani. We need to know what he looked like.
It's fucking huge.
Okay. It was the big one, ma'am.
It's like there's the small, and then there's big, and then there's fucking huge.
Okay. The fucking huge one. Sorry.
He nods, and he's like, and he turns to his friend, and he's like, they're probably talking about the one outside the dean's office. And the other one's like, no, that one, there's a sheet over it. They're fixing that one. What about, and they like, they go back and forth a couple of times, and the guy's like, well, okay. So it's either the one by the dean's office, or there's one in the Southern Commons. It's like a ways off. You can take the monorail there, but it's like a three transfer. It'll take you like 2 hours. But if you really, are you guys doing like this is one of those like scavenger hunt things?
No, these two don't get out of the cuckoo's nest, if you know what I mean, too much. So we're giving them a tour of the moon before. See that guy over there? That's the prison guard, and I point to Alfarius.
Yeah, they both kind of like look over at you.
Alfarius. We're just doing a friendly little tour.
Yeah, everyone's like looking at me now, and he like looks around, like just doesn't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah, it's like no, we're just here. We're just here giving them a show. You know, you got to take the crazies out sometimes before they take you out, you know?
So the girl comes over to you, Eric, and she kind of like leans in and she's like, well, I hope you're having fun at the university.
Please don't talk to him, ma'am.
And she looks over at you like, I'm sure he's harmless. He seems fine.
Ma'am, this criminal right here, this criminal blew up a spaceport with his mind, all right?
Yeah, his friend or her friend grabs her and like by the arm and kind of pulls away. She's like, come on, man, we gotta get to class.
Yeah.
She like,
don't now, poke the beast, she's man.
Looking at you, Eric, like, don't blow up a spaceport.
Thank you for the information, though. I'm sorry
He kind of like is like, okay, all right, we're gonna go, and like pulls his friend away.
Yeah, okay. Eric, let's go back. I didn't mean that about the, you know. Sorry if that hurts your feelings.
I didn't mean that about that thing you actually did.
I mean, it was an accident.
Do you shout that after them, or are you just saying
It was an accident.
Okay. And then I just walked back to the group and...
I was only trying to blow up a spaceship.
Eric, stop talking to the natives. We got to go. Look, that thing's... it said it's about 2 hours here on some monorail or some shit. Look, Piani, I'm going to be straight with you. Did this pod landing on this moon result in a, you know, cataclysmic event? Does this moon just go bye-bye after this?
I don't know the answer to that. Let's just say what came out of the pods wasn't good.
Okay. Well, I mean, what came out of the pods? Can we just say what it was instead of what it wasn't?
What's in the box?
I tell him about the guy with the beard and the Gandalf looking dude, but he has an axe. Or
have I ever heard anything like that, Adam?
Dude just sounds like a scary biker to you. Like, yeah, okay. Hard to say.
Scary or try hard?
Yeah, either way.
He's got zombie dogs. I
mean. He did have a cool zombie dog. It's true.
Mm-hmm. Is it just one pod and he and this dog get out? Is that what you're saying?
That was one of them, but
there were a bunch, right? Fire exploding all over. Right?
This was just one that the camera was on.
All right, well, look, let's go have a bean. We'll see what happens, and then, you know, we'll just get off the moon. We'll just take the bean and say no, and then we'll just leave.
There are different philosophies of thought regarding precognitive visions.
Eric, get in the car. Let's talk while we're let's drive and talk.
I'm getting in the car as this is going on. Some believe that by changing the circumstances of the vision, you can prevent the entire event from occurring in the first place. Some believe the event is destined to occur no matter what, and some believe that it's actually the psychic's responsibility to bring together the elements of the vision and force it into reality. Piani, where do you fall?
Piani, like, starts to get really nervous about that, thinking, like, whoa, I didn't ask for this. Like, I fucking didn't ask for this. Like, I turn to Eric. I go, Eric, how are you going to make a fucking pod stop flying from fucking space down to Earth? Or wherever the fuck we are. Like, you know, the planet.
Well, it's Ash's principle, really. It's the theory that the psionic is not merely witnessing the strains of reality, but actually a resonant node within the strands of time and space that can cause certain events to come to fruition or not. Certainly, it seems true that more advanced precognitives do seem capable of rewiring the very fabric of reality in order to ensure certain events do occur or fail to occur. So Asha simply posited that this was operating on a larger scale for the precognitive visions that you seem to be experiencing.
Look, how long do we have for the meeting?
I don't know, probably, you know. Oh, how long do we have before it?
Yes.
I look at my
I think at this point, yeah, you're like, oh, yeah. And you're like, bing. And the car is quietly like pinging because the doors are open. It's like, bing, bing, bing. And then occasionally a voice chimes in. It's like, you are going to be late. You are going to be late.
Bing, I guess I go, you know, let's table this for a second. Let's go to the meeting. Perhaps afterwards we visit the statue, but we have to all agree. If we hear even a hint of danger, if we hear anything, an alarm, any, we have to get the fuck out of here.
Okay, yeah, sure.
So whatever. You believe that our futures are deterministic, or rather, are not. Which one is it? Not deterministic. We have control. Free will, I think.
Flammable, inflammable.
At this point, I'm pushing people in the car, Adam. Yeah. So we're driving.
Yeah. I'm in the car.
And I think I like don't want to answer because I'm just sitting there going, like, I couldn't stop Andoni. I couldn't. How do you stop a planet from blowing up? How do you stop pods from raining from the sky? I'm like, yeah.
It's kind of like mumbling to yourself. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So the car, I guess we get the Higgs. You're like, get in, and you get in and close the door. And then we cut to the car pulling up in front of a really nice kind of like bistro restaurant. There's an open air kind of patio with all these like, because it's sci-fi, they're hover tables, they're little tables like floating and like with chairs around them and all these kind of like nicely dressed people sitting out, you know, drinking mimosas and having brunch. The car stops and says like, you have arrived. Boop. And like all the doors like click and slide open.
Okay. Yeah, we get out.
Okay.
Or I get out. I assume everyone else does too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Sure. So when you walk up to the, I guess there's a little like waiting area outside the patio. The concierge sees you and seems to recognize you, and looks at you, waiting for you to approach, and says, "Captain, your guest awaits. Please follow me."
Okay. No one else talk, please. You guys are way too crazy today. All this fucking.
I don't feel like I've done anything.
Alfarius, you just...
He just looks at you.
I just kind of like put my hands up in the air and just kind of like squeeze. And I'm just like, yeah, I don't know. And then I turn and like walk to the meeting table.
Okay, so the concierge takes you to a table and is explaining along the way, like, you'll find your menus embedded in the table. Simply wave your hand over the menu and make your selection. If you haven't tried it before, our foie gras is delicious. Now, I know it's a little early for foie gras, but why not live a little? And he walks you over to the table and shows you to sit down. There are five chairs at this table, one of which has a handbag sitting on it and a blazer draped over the back. But whoever was sitting in the chair seems to be absent from their seat. The concierge seats you and says... I'm sure the Professor Peng will be right back. Please have a look at the menus. And as he gestures, little like hollow menus appear with like 3D depictions of the various things you can order. And he heads back to the front.
Okay. Yeah, I guess we're just waiting. I just order water.
Okay.
I don't order
what
food.
What if
or
we had precognitive menus that could predict for you what your food would look like when it would arrive?
Eric, those are called pictures, you stupid fuck. Pictures.
What if we had a device that could capture what something looks like in the past and send it into the future?
Eric, he's got like a slice of chocolate cake in front of him and he's like rotating it by like gesturing with it. He's just happily.
Yes, pictures, Eric. Truly a work of all precogs.
So we hear... Karen Pang coming before she actually arrives. You can hear her like high heels clicking on the stone, and you turn to look as she gets closer, and you realize it's someone that's coming towards you. She's wearing like a white blouse and a skirt that matches the blazer that's hanging over the back of the jacket. It's a cream color. She's like quite dark skinned, and has like a turquoise and silver necklace on. And she smiles like when she sees you. Her lipstick matches her necklace, and yeah, she gives off this smile. She's a very like severe haircut. Her hair's black, and it's like very like chopped across the bangs and like straight down. She looks like someone who's wearing understated but expensive clothing. And when she walks over, what do you do? Higgs, you're probably in the chair closest to her, as I imagine.
Yeah, I stand up, put my hand down, and say, "Yeah, Karen, it's a pleasure to meet you. Wilbur Higgins III. I love that shade of lipstick. It goes with the necklace so well."
She shakes your hand and she laughs and she's like, I don't know what to say. Miss Van Dorn didn't tell me you were a cosmetics enthusiast.
Well, Van Dorn's interested in the other top, if you know what I'm saying. She doesn't really take too much note of what I say.
She smiles and kind of politely makes like a vaguely like laughing sort of sound, like a polite laugh noise, and then looks to the table and she said, "I presume this is your crew."
Yes, this is Piani Pick, the ship's computerate person.
She leans over and she like shakes each person's hand as you introduce them.
Yeah, this is Eric, our lead engineer, and this is Alfares. He's our head of security.
I reach through a holographic cake that has the number 8 blinking over.
Okay. Yeah. So Alfares, she shakes your hand and she gives you like a bit of like a longer handshake and look than the rest.
Just continues to confuse him.
And she says, she kind of like, yeah, like quirks an eyebrow a little bit and she says, "You're Andonian, aren't you?"
I am.
"I'm so sorry for your loss."
"You are very kind to say so, and the first," and he kind of like looks back at the group, "to say so."
She says, what happened on Andoni was an absolute tragedy. I understand that it was a rogue Fotenhauer ship. Terrible. Just terrible."
"Yeah.
Well, shall we?" And she sits down.
I was kind of like look at the menu and just shake my head the entire time. It's like, so what, I mean, let's just get down to business here. I already ordered some water. We're not in the business of eating. We'd rather get the whatever you're here to tell us."
"Not in the business of eating. You're in the business of business." Okay. So she says, "Well, Miss Van Dorn wanted me to ask you how your research project had gone. I'm to report back to her about it. I understand this was under your operation." She looks at you, Eric.
"Oh, yes. No, it was a great success." And I like, you know, I pull up the results of the thing. And then I kind of like catch myself. And then I kind of look over at Higgs.
You could share whatever you want. Just don't tell her about that kid I killed.
Mr. Higgins.
She doesn't like bat an eye. Doesn't like, it just like goes like, she does that thing where you can tell she's really, really good at moving a conversation past stuff that she knows that other people have said that she's not supposed to have heard. Mm-hmm. So just like, it's like it goes right through her.
Yeah.
And she just kind of carries on with Eric without acknowledging it.
"Yes. Well, we performed these tests and, you know," he starts rattling off all the technical speech of like, you know, probably slightly more advanced than he would expect her to be able to mm-hmm. follow, but not intentionally or anything like that.
Yeah. She lets you, I think she lets you carry on until she gets done listening, where she's just like, "Okay, I've been polite," but instead of interrupting you, she looks at Higgs, like mm-hmm. waiting for you to interrupt him.
Yeah. I mean, I think quickly Eric does eventually move on beyond the specifics, and then he goes to the results and he's like, "Yeah, you know, we replicated this kind of polymer and these kinds of fuel additions, and, you know, we registered a 412% increase in efficiency over, you know, et cetera."
Sure. I think so. She gives you the opportunity to finish and then she says, "Good, well, I'll report that back to Miss Van Dorn." And the students, they were cooperative, appropriately chastised for their late payments?
Yeah, no, kids are great, you know. Kids are kids.
She laughs. That's a very true statement, Captain.
Yeah.
We had a bit of a struggle. He needed to be held down and explained.
It was a little rough. It took a little while.
We had to wrestle with a real hard problem for a while.
We eventually got it through their heads.
Well, he got his head around it, is what I was.
Yeah. Well done.
Look, yeah. Kara, I don't mean to move things along too quickly, but what's your affiliation with this moon? What are you doing here?
Oh, she says I'm a professor of xenosociology. I'm working on my doctorate.
Shandalians, maybe.
She looks at you when you say that, and she's
no,
like,
I don't say that.
I mean, it's a name that people might have heard, but oh, yeah, she's like, yeah, I'm a professor of xenosociology. I'm just working on my doctorate here.
Hmm.
I have some connections on Vinaya. Rajani and I met there.
Gotcha.
Do you find that particularly useful? It seems like that would be a pretty random thing to have as a quality, to be a part of a group.
She says it's a strange field of study, not useful to a lot of people, but I'm just glad to be able to put it to use. You know, my parents always said I'd die before I'd meet an alien, but she shrugs. Well, it just goes to show what parents know. Hmm?
That's true. So
Eric nods kind of quietly to himself.
Did you have a job for us? I remember you mentioning something like that.
I might. There's also, Higgins,
perhaps you can ask her about the caterpillars. I know that you've been pretty
ixnay on the insectoids.
Technically, it's not an insect. Actually, an insect is classified by having six legs.
She's paying a lot of attention to you, and is kind of like nodding when you say things and like smiling at the things that you say. You've definitely got her attention for sure.
My compatriots, every once in a while they take a part of the little blue fever, and we here on College Town.
Oh God,
you know,
I'm like shaking my head. I'm like, nope.
They get a little, they get a little loose. You know how it goes, ma'am. I'm sure some of your students do it as well. And if you don't, well, then you're naive.
She says, well, that's in part something that I wanted to talk to you about. Miss Van Dorn has an associate here at the university who's been importing product for her, for interested buyers, but of late has been reducing his imports. Now, the amount of this product that's been going around on the planet hasn't lessened at all. It's just coming from somewhere else.
You think he's making it?
She nods. Miss Van Dorn would like you to look into his supply chain for her.
Okay.
And if it is coming from somewhere else, she'd like you to shut it down.
Sure. What's payment? What are we talking here?
Miss Van Dorn and I spoke about this at length, and she's decided that it might be best, and please pardon me if I'm being out of line, I'm trying to pass on the information from her, but she told me that it might be best if this job were to represent an ongoing source of income for you, rather than a single lump sum, as a way of our showing you that the syndicate is behind your crew. We were thinking 5% of gross profits from an Anaximander for the next 6 months.
Okay, and 5% can mean a lot. What does that typically translate into?
She says, I don't handle the numbers myself. We have accountants for that. But if you're interested in the deal, I can let Ms. Van Dorn know, and we can come back to you with some projections for the next fiscal. What do you think?
Sure. Yeah. The thing is, we don't want to be on the planet or the moon too long. So how long do you think all this will take?
I suppose that depends on how efficient you are.
Random question. Does this moon have any sort of, anti-space turrets or anything like that? Like if it was to perhaps come under attack from up above, would it have a way to defend itself here at the university?
The planet, and she looks up, and you can basically see it most of the time. Like an Anaximander, the actual planet is quite a bit larger, and that's why you're the moon. But it's like a desert planet, but it's got settlements. She says the planetary government at large has a contract with the university to protect it in case of piracy or attack, but the university hasn't had any external threats of violence in two and a half centuries. It's pretty peaceful here for the most part.
Okay. All right. Well, how about this? You go and talk with, Rajani, let us know what 5% really means. Tell us what happened last quarter, and we'll go ahead and go check it out. You got a name, you got a location.
I do. The man you're looking for, and I'll have this information sent to you. His name is Vito Marsh. He's okay. A procurer. Officially, I think his job is something to do with the economics department, but it's something that Miss Van Dorn put in place to protect him, and now he's using it against us. You might have to do a little work to find him.
What are perhaps the rules of engagement for such an operation?
If you find out that he's crossed the syndicate, just kind of shrugs, like, do what you have to do. But don't pull the trigger until you know that he's been disloyal. We can't have internal strife right now. There are big things happening at the syndicate, and a civil war is not something that we need. If Mr. Marsh has decided to work with a different branch of the syndicate, well, that's clan politics, and we'll have to move it up the chain. But if he's working with an outside source or he's gone independent, and you can prove this, feel free to do with him as you like.
All right. Well, we'll go ahead and check it out. Let me know when you hear back from Ajani, and hopefully we can seal this up for the day and call it a day's work, get paid, and we'll move on.
She nods.
Well, let's hop to it, gentlemen and lady. I stand up and chug the water.
Yeah, stand up, drink an entire glass of sparkling water, and then walk off.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So you leave, and she, as you're walking away, like she's already started, like she pulls up the holographic version of her like laptop and gets to work. She drinks the rest of the mimosa that was sitting in front of her, stays there.
Okay.
Okay.
We're headed to wherever. What was his name? Started with a V?
Yeah, Vito. Vito Marsh. Yeah, Vito Marsh. That's the guy's name.
Vito.
So yeah, where do you want to find this guy? Where do you start?
We'd go to like the administration office or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could do that.
Sure. So he's the supplier of Blue Fever, and he's stopped supplying as much to her. But
it's the other way around. He's a mid-level dealer for an X-Men university. Her clan supplies Blue Fever to him, and suddenly he's like, nah, I'm good.
But there's as much.
There's still Blue Fever on the planet, yeah. Yep.
He's not asking for as much, but there's still the same on the market. Okay.
Yep. Yeah, so you're walking out of the bistro out towards the sort of thoroughfare where the cars move around.
Yep. And then we're headed to the administration office. Does the car still work for us?
Yeah. So an X-Mander University has like a fully automated car system that like is owned by the administration and picks people up and drops them off. And so the car you were in like went to pick somebody else up, but outside of everywhere there's, you can use your own terminals or you can just hit there's like a call button. You can call a car.
Yeah, we call it and then we go to the administration office.
Okay, sure. All right. So yeah, you get in the car and we wipe to the office of the administrator. It's a big kind of like sweeping arc building in the Cabrales style. So lots of like white concrete, kind of gold tinted glass. And outside the front of it, there's a big sort of cathedral walkway kind of area with some fountains and some grass and students, or maybe there's some students playing like electro frisbee or whatever out up front.
Space frisbee. Yeah.
Yeah. They're using the rings they wear around their neck to. So,
it's the frisbee of the future.
Exactly. They're playing high lie.
Oh, no.
So yeah, you pull up in your car and we see everybody getting out.
You know, Piani, about this psychic stuff, can you see what would happen? Basically what I'm asking here is if I go in there and ask a bunch of the wrong questions, could you see ahead so that I perhaps could know the right questions in finding this guy?
I cannot. I'm sorry.
Okay, what if we walk in there and there's a pillar of a guy behind him?
It's more...
Do you by chance have the power to create a future?
It's... I guess I like try to say it doesn't work in quite the time frame you think it does. It's more like a, you know, a decision I make or something that might happen in the next few moments. It's not over the course of a day, an hour, a year, 10 minutes, 20 minutes.
Is this the part where Piani takes Higgs' hand and like it's a drop of water?
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about ripples. I guess I just try to say, you know, if I go in there with you and I know something's going to happen, I can, you know, give you a tug and you know.
Oh, hey.
Only if you know something's going to happen.
That escalated very quickly.
I can give you a jab, a punch.
A poke even?
A poke. You fucking you cyborg. Sick, horny, cyborg, son of a bitch.
She can really thrust you in a different direction.
You know what I mean.
Okay,
get in trouble, I'll make sure and pull out.
Listen, before Alpharius joined the crew, Swan Song, he starred in Horny Cyborg 1-6.
I believe
it's not a bright time.
You gotta make a living.
You gotta make a living, exactly.
Oh shit!
All right, well, yeah, just let me know. I'd rather just get out of here quick, you know. Just one and done, and then we're done, and we can go find this guy.
Quick hitter.
Yes, a quick hitter, Alpharius. But we're not hitting anyone. Okay, no weapons, please. These are people trying to learn and get a college education. Oh, fuck, these people are idiots. Let's go inside.
There's no university on Asa. There's a school of hard knocks, and that's it.
Yeah. I just throw open the door like I'm a badass and walk in there. Like, hopefully the wind catches. Like, in Higgs' mind, that's what he looks like, but he probably, like, trips and something, and, like, the fucking, his jacket's, like, yeah, messed up.
You kick a door that's a pull door, and then, like.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Yeah, you come inside and there's a big open like open air atrium. There's some faint kind of like Baroque music playing, some of the calming music playing in the background. And there are on either side hollow signs that show like the different like areas of inquiry. So like biology department, xenology department, engineering, sciences, the varying like heading off in different hallways into this big building. And there's students kind of milling around in here. There's like a glass mezzanine above with more students on it, moving around. The place is warm and sunny. And I think that when you come in, there's some students that go past you as you enter.
Okay. Yeah. We just go up to the clerk.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, there's a series of like VI terminals that will activate if you walk up to them. Like,
okay. Yeah, we walk up to it. What are some of the prompts?
Okay. Yeah, the hologram appears. It's a an Anaximander has its own set of custom. There's a couple of different sort of academic helper VIs that appear. So this one appears dressed kind of casually, about like an imagined student median age. The hologram appears and says in kind of like a neutral, gender neutral voice, just says, how can I help you today?
Yes, we need to locate one Vito Marsh. I believe he's a student here.
I'm sorry, do you have your student identification on you, Mr. Marsh?
No, we need to find Mr. Vito Marsh. I'm looking for him.
Sounds like you're looking for a student. Do you know what faculty this student's in?
Chemistry, maybe?
It's a good guess.
There's a pause, and the VI says, I can't find anyone in my database of that name in the chemistry department. Are you sure they have their department correct?
Could you check to see if they are perhaps graduated?
Looking for an alumni? Let me check. Here we are. I have a Vito Marsh, alumni of the economics department. It looks like they finished their program 3 months ago.
Do they still reside here on campus somewhere?
Oh, I can't help you with that. This is admissions. You need housing. Would you like me to show you how to get there?
Yes.
Do you have your compad? Do you have your compad handy? Hold it up to the display.
Piani, do I have a compad handy? Do you have?
I pull mine out and just hand it over to Higgs.
Okay, here you go.
Okay. Yeah. So you hold it. The VI just puts its hand over top, and like a sort of cartoony like stream of like ones and zeros like pours out of its hand onto your data pad. The data pad lights up and shows you a little warning like, you have a new app. Would you like to use it? And it's a little button for okay on it.
Yep. Yes.
Okay. So you hit it. It brings up like a full like map of the building. And the VI says, so you're right here. And one of the lights picks up and they're like, if you just follow the map, you can find your way to the alumni department and to housing. They're both on the way.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a nice day.
All right. I turn around. I'm just like, well, that was easy. We'll go find out from housing this way. I just start walking.
I'm just following around.
Yeah. I know which way we have to go. Okay. All right. So you head off in that direction and you get to housing. Housing is just like a sub department in the same building. And it's got a bunch of people waiting in a little waiting room. There's a display above with a like a numerical counter that as you walk in, it ticks over to another number and someone gets up and walks over to a little help desk. There's a woman at the desk with a terminal and there's some seats in the waiting area. There's a little like hollow display that most people are watching. Somebody's like, some people are playing games or looking at their data pads, but most people are like watching the TV.
Yeah. I walk over to the terminal.
Okay. Yeah. There's a little like user terminal that says, please take a number.
Is there a way to talk to the person?
She's talking to somebody right now. The person that just walked over to the desk.
What's the planet that we're from? Or that this is the moon of?
Anaximander. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I like cut in front of this person.
You just like nudge them out of the way?
Yeah, I kind of just like push them out of the way. And...
Yeah, so he's like, he's talking to her and he's like, look, I'm just waiting for my loan to come in and then I can pay the housing bill. But then and you like push him out of the way and he's like, hey, asshole, I was... And then the woman kind of like starts to get up and she's like, excuse me, sir.
Ma'am, I'm sorry. I'll be done in just a moment, sir. Please stand by.
And they're both looking at each other like they were just angry at each other for a second. And now they're both like frustrated with you.
Ma'am, I represent a coalition of. I'm from the planet, the Anaximander, that we're circling. And we're here looking for. I think he's an alumni of this fine institution, and he seems to have gotten in some trouble. So if you could just give me his location, that would be great. And no harm will come to any of you in this building or this room.
No harm will.
She's okay. Well, roll a persuade. Let's see how that goes. Let's say you lose. Right. Let's say you use your skills.
Let me open my character sheet.
Use them skills.
Yeah.
Persuade, charisma. No, that's con. Charisma. No assisted. 11.
Nice. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. So I think she stammers a little bit, and she's like, "I'm sorry. I did not realize there was, I didn't expect a visit, excuse me. And she's like fiddling with her computer and you can see she's like kind of flustered and doesn't know how to help. But you've got her on the ropes, right? She has accepted your authority and like the story sticks. So if you keep pushing on her, she's more likely to give you what you, what you want.
I'm just like, we need to locate one Marsh, first name Vito. I think he graduated 3 months ago, it seems.
Vito Marsh. Yes. 1 second. Then she's like typing. And she's like V I T O. Yes.
That's yes. I believe so.
She types it in, and you can see her display. Like it's masked from one side, but it comes up, and she's scrolling through, and she says, "Yeah, yes, is this?" And she like turns the screen around. She gestures, and it redisplays on the other side. Yeah, there's a picture of a kind of like late 20s. He looks kind of like he is grudgingly taking this picture. It's like a student ID picture of him. He looks kind of sour. He's got short hair, sideburns. His information is masked, so you just see the picture.
Mr. Marsh took a long time to get through school, didn't he?
I think
Eric, ma'am,
a little like she's not sure how to respond.
It's all right, ma'am. He creeps us all out sometimes. Is he still here on the moon? Is there any way you could tell me that? It would be mighty helpful.
I don't think I'm supposed to give out information like that. It's a privacy policy of the university.
Ma'am, you ever killed anyone before?
Of course not. No. Why?
Well, if you don't give me this person's location, you might be responsible for the death of thousands.
She gasps and like touches her chest, like she's having a hard time breathing. She's like, "Oh no, that sounds horrible. I would not want to be responsible for such a thing." And she like turns the screen around and is like typing some more.
I'm not gonna tell anyone or get you in trouble. We're just two people chatting here.
Yes, no, of course. I just want to help. I have a last known address here. I can and she's like looking for like a USB drive or something to like a stick to give you the information on.
I mean, you can just put this on the compad if you want. If you want to just give me that file.
Yes, of course. Please. And she like reaches for your compad.
Yeah, I hand her Eric's compad.
Okay. All right. She takes your compad and puts it on a transducer like plate and passes the information to it and then hands it back to you. She says, you should be able to find it in the internal memory there. Though this is several months old, it looks like we have not heard from Mr. Marsh in some time. And she kind of
okay.
Like, I hope this helps.
Oh, yes, ma'am. This will be more than enough. It gives us a thread and we can start somewhere with this. Thank you so much, ma'am and sir. I apologize. I'll let you two get back to yelling at each other.
Yeah, the guy's already looking at his phone. He looks up. He's like, what?
I'm finished here, sir. You can continue on with your edumacation.
puts his phone back in his pocket, and as soon as you walk away, he like goes right back into being like, look, I thought I had 2 months to pay this thing, and like gets up on the counter, and she's all like flushed, and you've probably like helped him push her around too, because she's so off balance.
Yeah. Okay. Then I'm just like, all right, follow me. We just go to the next location.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So the address is listed at there's like an address in a housing complex some, you know, hour or so away from here called Cascade Estates. It's like a relatively upscale kind of nice neighborhood of student housing, kind of like of the end of career students can stay there.
Okay.
And that's where he was, or
that's his last known address. Yeah. And okay. So you're going to head there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, as we're okay. going there, I tell or ask, I'm like, Eric, did you bring all of your equipment? Are you good to go if we need to get into a squabble?
Oh, you mean, and I just sort of like sling my shotgun off of my shoulder. You mean this?
Yes. Yes. That's what I mean, Eric. Yes.
I'm ready.
Okay. And how far is this good to go? Piani? You've got your do-nothing attitude, right? You brought that? Okay, we're good to go. Ralph, don't draw your weapons until we need to, but, you know, I'll be the front man on this, and we'll just act like we're here doing a simple search. So just keep that up. And if anything does happen, we have, you know, complete authority just to kill everyone. So here we go.
Okay. All right. So you all do like a weapons check and then walk out the front doors of the building. And I think we get a silhouette. Higgs didn't get his action entrance, but as you walk away, you're silhouetted by the bright light of the system sun outside and walk out with your guns headed to the estate.
Great. All right. Nice. Let's take our second break here and then we'll come back and go into the third hour. So don't go nowhere. We'll be right back, guys, with more. We'll play Swan Song. We'll see you then.